The School of Agriculture's Dean of Admissions was interviewing a prospective student. "Why have you chosen this career?" he asked. The young man says, "I dream of making $1 million in dairy farming like my father," the student replied. "Your father made $1 million in dairy farming?" echoed the impressed dean. "No," replied the applicant, "but he always dreamed of it." A young woman was taking an afternoon nap. After she woke up, she told her husband, "I just dreamed that you gave me a pearl necklace for our anniversary." "What do you think it means?" "You'll know tonight," he said. That evening, the man came home with a small package and gave it to his wife. Delighted, she opened it only to find a book entitled The Meaning of Dreams. I could go on all day, but I do have something to say. But it is about dreams. Do we have dreams? You know, after the Feast of Tabernacles, Dr. Oss asked us to write down 25 goals that we wanted to accomplish. You know, goals are great, and we certainly need them. They give us direction and something to work for, especially when we write them down. And I hope we're doing well with those. Sometimes our goals are things we want to work on, or maybe something that we have on our bucket list of things we want to accomplish. And we certainly need those goals, and we need those lists. And those are good. They're great. But I want to talk today a little more than just a goal. Not that I'm saying anything bad against goals or a bucket list, but about dreams. Do we dare to dream? I don't mean dreams when we're sleeping, because we all do that. But I'm dreams about the future. Dreams of a better world. Dreams of a better tomorrow. Dreams of a wonderful future. Young people, we have a few here today. Do you dream about your future? Do you dream about getting married? Having children? And we have people with young children. Do you dream about their future? About having more children? Do we have dreams? Have you ever dreamed of winning the lottery? My wife and I have. We've liked to dream and fantasize about what we would do with winning, you know, $200 million. First thing would be to buy a ticket. That's another story. But we always dream about what we would do with that money. You know, after giving generously to the church, you know, we'd do that. But, you know, what we would buy, we'd set up our children, we'd buy homes, or, you know, whatever we do. But it's fun to dream. I remember as a young person, I was laying out in the grass, looking up at the clouds, dreaming of the future. Loved to do it in the summer. My mom would come out and ask me what I was doing. I said, "I'm just dreaming about the future." She said, "You know, that's good sometimes, but you're 31 years old. Get up and get a job." There's a right time for dreaming. We can dream of riches. We can dream of a better world, a better future. Dreams are not bad at all. In fact, I think it's good to dream. I want to read from Ronald Reagan. A lot of young people don't know him. He was president of the United States. I want to read from his first inaugural address. He said, quote, "On the eve of our struggle for independence, a man who might have been one of the greatest among the founding fathers, Dr. Joseph Warren, president of the Massachusetts Congress, said to his fellow Americans, 'Our country is in danger, not to be despaired of. On you depends the fortunes of America. You are to decide the important question upon which rests the happiness and the liberty of millions yet unborn. Act worthy of yourselves.'" Mr. Reagan continues in his inaugural address, "Well, I believe we, the American people today, are ready to act worthy of ourselves, ready to do what must be done to ensure happiness and liberty for ourselves, our children, our children's children. As we renew ourselves here in our own land, we will be seen as having greater strength throughout the world. We will again be the exemplar of freedom and a beacon of hope for those who do not now have freedom. To those neighbors and allies who share our freedom, we will strengthen our historic ties and assure them of our support and firm commitment. We will match loyalty with loyalty. We'll strive for mutually beneficial relations. We will not use our friendships to impose on their sovereignty, for our own sovereignty is not for sale. Ronald Reagan dreamed. At that time, he dreamed of a stronger America. He came in when there was economic chaos. There were problems. But he dreamed of a stronger America. We can dream of world peace, of equality for everyone. These are good dreams that help lead a country in a time of need. I want to read from another speech. I Have a Dream speech from Martin Luther King. He says, I say to you today, my friends, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out the mountain of despair, a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation to a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. And this will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. Martin Luther King had an impressive dream. He had a wonderful dream, a dream for his children, a dream that they would live good lives and be judged by their character, not by the color of their skin. You know, as we think about these dreams and the ideals of these two men, we see that they were noble, inspiring dreams. They were dreams that they tried to live by. They took work, they took planning, they thought about them, and I believe they prayed about them. What about our dreams? Your dreams, my dreams. Do we dream of a better world? Do we dream of peace and harmony? Do we dream? Here's a quote. Never give up on what you really want to do. The person with the big dream is more powerful than the one with all the facts. Anonymous. I have one more dreamer I want to quote. There was another dreamer who had a dream for his whole life, and it came together in 1955. He says, to all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land. Here, age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and the promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that have created America, with the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world. You know, Walt Disney had a dream, and he lived to see the fulfillment, a part of that dream. I'm not sure he'd be happy with Disney today, after it was bought by ABC and so forth, as they have an agenda, a different agenda than Walt Disney had. But Walt Disney was a dreamer, and through that dream, he gave joy to tens or hundreds of millions of people. He created Disneyland, Disney World, Epcot Center, and a variety of other places where you can go and forget the world for a time. You can be a kid again. You know, Disney's fun. I remember going as a young person, but it's more fun when you go with your young people. And I look forward to going when we have grandchildren, if it's not too weird by then. But I ask again, do we dream? You know, at the beginning of this year, the Roman year, people get all excited about New Year's resolutions. I'll exercise more. I'll sleep more. I'll lose weight. I'll gain weight. That's always been mine. It's easier. They set empty goals. You know, we wrote down goals. I hope our goals aren't empty. I hope we fulfill them. But with our New Year's resolution, sometimes we get into the habit, we make them, and we break them. And sometimes this causes us not to want to have a dream or to dream. But I hope we don't do that. I hope we dream. We can dream. We should dream. But our dreams need to be focused on God's will, God's way. Others may try to stand in the way of your dream, but if they're focused on God and His way of life, nothing should interfere. Turn with me, please, to Genesis 37. Genesis 37, verse 1. Genesis 37, verse 1. We will read down to verse 5. Genesis 37, verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Basically, he was tattletelling on his brothers. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So Joseph wasn't winning any popularity contests at home. He was the young one. Everybody knew Daddy loved Joseph. Didn't like the other ones. Or liked the other ones, but not as much as Joseph. Joseph got the fancy coat. Today, Joseph would have the fancy car. Joseph got everything Joseph wanted. And to make it worse, Joseph would go and tell on his brothers. I saw that one smoking. I saw that one doing this. That one was kissing a girl. He was doing all these things, telling on his brothers. And his brother's like, you know, dude, we don't like you. The Bible says they hated him. So then Joseph, lying in bed, and he has this dream. And in the dream, or a vision, well, let's read it. Verse 5 or 6. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed to my sheaves." Then his brother said to him, "That is just great, because I cannot wait to bow down and worship you." No. His brother said, "You're going to reign over us? You little pipsqueak, you're going to reign over us? You can't even shepherd the sheep yet. You're too little. You're going to reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dream and then his words. And then he dreamed another dream. And you think Joseph would have said, you know what, I'm going to keep this one to myself because they don't really like when I dream like this. But he says, he told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So this time, Jacob said, "Whoa, I'm going to bow down to you as well? Your mother and I are going to bow down to you with your brothers?" So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. His father was thinking about it. Jacob had this dream. It was given to him by God. I'm sure he thought long and hard about this dream. And I'm sure he was thinking, one day I'm going to rule over my brothers. This is going to be pretty cool. Remember, he's 17. How exciting that's going to be. This young man had a dream. But he didn't realize it, that his dream was about to be taken away from him. At least he thought. If we read verse 17. Well, his brothers went down. And the man said, okay, the brother went down. He went down the field. His father said, check on his brothers again. And the man said, I'm sorry, I lost place there. But all right, anyway, he's going down. We know that he's going to check on his brothers again. They're in the field. And his brother said, here comes a little rat. Let's make sure he doesn't tell on us again. Let's kill him. That's pretty rash. Let's take his precious coat, sprinkle it with the blood of a deer or whatever, a goat. We'll tell Dad that he was killed by a wild animal. Thankfully, Reuben had more heart. So let's get on to verse 17, the end of it. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. And they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. So Joseph is in a mess. He must have thought that his dream was crushed, shattered. Because we know that he was sold into slavery, not killed, but sold into slavery in a foreign country. Not the kind of things that dreams are made of. Let's go over to Genesis 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had was put under his authority. So Joseph, again, things are going good. He's being obedient. Things are looking up. Maybe that dream's going to come true. Maybe I am going to be that person that God thought I was going to be, or knew I was going to be. But again, we know that if you've read it, we know that what happens. Joseph found the eye of his master's wife. She tried to seduce him, and he kept backing off, saying, I'm not going to do that. And so basically, she entrapped him. We can start reading in verse 11. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice." Down in verse 20, then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and was there in the prison. Here again, Joseph's dreams were dashed. He thought he was doing what was right. He was doing what was right. But his dream was broken. Joseph spent 2+ years in prison. He helped 2 other prisoners get out by interpreting their dreams. But finally, he was needed to help interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. Here was this young shepherd kid. and I'm sure remembers it now, this young shepherd kid brought to probably at that time one of the most powerful men of the world and asked to interpret his dream. And as we know, and you can read that Joseph interpreted the Pharaoh's dream properly, which in turn fulfilled the dream that he was given. He was eventually made second in command of all Egypt. I encourage you young people, read that story. It's a fantastic story of someone who would not give up, someone that even through adversity made it through. Let's go out to chapter 42. Chapter 42, verse 3. This is down the road. They had 7 good years. Then they had some bad years coming up. And the famine was all over Egypt, all over Israel. Verse 3. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity befall him. And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, where do you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, you are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land. Joseph remembered the dream that he had dreamed. This was a God-given dream for Joseph. It took a lot of hard work, a lot of patience, a lot of reliance on God to keep believing in that dream. You know, there are many obstacles that get in the way of dreams. Sometimes people get in the way of dreams. In Joseph's case, it was his own brothers and his own father who did not believe or support the dream. Joseph had to believe time and time again to keep that dream alive. He had to believe that God was with him. Another quote from Harvey McKay, businessman. When you have a dream that you can't let go of, trust your instincts and pursue it. But remember, real dreams take work. They take patience, and sometimes they require you to dig down very deep. Be sure you're willing to do that. Real dreams can take work. Turn with me to Habakkuk 2:2. Actually, you know, I'll just read it because, let's be honest, it's very hard to find Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:2, for the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Write it down. Run with it, and it will happen. We were encouraged when we wrote down our goals, when we had goals, to write it down, to run with it. If our dreams are good dreams, if God is the center of our dreams, we should pursue them. Discuss your dreams with your mate, with your friends. Some dreams may be fantasies. They may not be realistic. Let's face it. Hardly anybody here is going to be a professional basketball player, baseball player. I remember I was like 20 years old or 21 years old. I was watching college basketball and thinking, it passed me by. I mean, I couldn't shoot anyway, and then I remember watching professional basketball when I was like in my 30s, and I think, again, it passed me by. And there's no senior leagues out there. We have to have real dreams. We do not want it said about us, the English writer Douglas Adams wrote, he was a dreamer, a thinker, a speculative philosopher, or as his wife would have it, an idiot. We need to have real dreams. And if these dreams are good dreams, if they're God-focused dreams, by all means, we should be reaching for them. Mark Twain wrote, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the things you did do. And how true is that? I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'll put that off. And then 20 years later, we just haven't done that yet. Garage still needs painted. Children need raised. All kinds of things. How many of us wish we had done something long ago? Something that we could have possibly bettered our life. But we did not. We were scared. Or talked out of it. Dreams represent what you want and why. And goals represent your plan to get there. So we need to have goals. And hopefully they'll facilitate our dreams. James Allen, the British writer and poet, said it perfectly. Dream lofty dreams, and as you dream, so you shall become. Your vision is a promise of what you shall one day be. Your ideal is a prophecy of what you shall at last unveil. We should dream dreams and find ways to achieve the dreams through setting goals. And I'll share with you a personal dream my wife and I have. You know, a year ago we moved down here because two of our sons moved down here. Because they had these young ladies that they liked. So far, we're one for one. But we moved down here because we wanted to see that happen. And our goal is to get all of our sons together. We have three. We want all of them to be down here. And again, we know it's God's will. We pray for God's will. But that's a dream of ours. We pray together about that dream, and we think about that dream a lot. We're trying to convince our oldest son that that's our dream. We'll see. But, you know, we believe and we think about the words in Jeremiah 29:11, which you don't have to turn to. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I always find that a very comforting scripture. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. That's kind of cool that God's thinking about us. And he knows our hopes. He knows our dreams. He knows what we want. He knows what we need. Sometimes what we need is not what we want. I'm always amazed we go into Lowe's and I walk around seeing all the things I didn't know I needed. A lot of things I want in there. So, but we understand that God knows what we want. He is guiding us. He is leading us. And he wants us to hope. And he wants us to dream. He wants us to see the big picture in life. He wants us to make plans for the future. Physical plans, sometimes. You know, I grew up, again, in the church, this church, not this one, but one previous to that. Anyway, the church. And, you know, quite honestly, we focused on the big dream. And we had to be focused on the big dream. But we didn't have a lot of physical dreams. If you didn't go to Bathurst College, then a lot of people didn't have a lot of dreams. College outside of Ambassador wasn't even so much talked about. Or if you did, it's like, whoa, he's going to that college. Times have changed for the better. You know, I know I've said this before. I used to dream about the year 2000. I would have been in my late teens by then. I've never been good at math. All right, would have been almost 40 by then. And I used to think, we're never going to get there. Either the world's going to fall apart or Jesus Christ is going to return. You know, we had dates set before us. And sometimes it was hard to think, and I'm going to say outside the box, and it's a cliche, about our physical dreams. You know, I know I've talked to young people today, and they, you know, do you want the kingdom to come? Yes, we do. After I get married and have four children, that's fine. They're dreaming about that. But I always had the main dream in mind, the dream of God's kingdom. The dream that was a part of the church, of why we were doing what we were doing, of why we belong, of why we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. That dream. You know, we still have to live our lives. We have to dream. I hope our young people dream. I hope you always have the main dream in line, but you have other dreams as well. You can dream of having children, grandchildren. But our overall dream, hopefully, is the kingdom of God. You know, we've been called today to a wonderful future. We've been called to a hope for us individually, for all of us sitting here, a hope for all mankind. It is a dream. It is our dream, and it's the dream that God has set before us. Ronald Reagan had a dream of a better America. Martin Luther King had a dream that all people would one day be treated equally. Walt Disney had a dream of creating the perfect place, a fantasy place, where happiness abounds. Our dream is bigger. Our dream is better. Our dream is real. Because that dream that we have, that dream of God's kingdom, that dream that he sets before us, will happen. It's God-inspired. You know, man has many dreams. We all have had dreams. And sometimes they do fall short. God's dream, our future will never fall short. When God is involved, his dreams will exceed our imagination. In Proverbs 19:21, I'm going to read this out of the NIV. We read, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." God has the ultimate plan in store for each of us. God's plan and our dream is outlined in God's holy days. You know, as we prepare for the upcoming Passover, we prepare for the spring holy days, we're reminded of the real dream. We're reminded of our real dream. We're reminded of the dream that will come true. You know, as we examine ourselves during this pre-Passover time, these upcoming weeks, we see where we fall short. We see where we miss the goal. We miss the mark. But we also know we can hit the reset button. Start again. And as we examine ourselves, we have to make sure that our goals align with God's. And that goal starts with Matthew 6:33 is where we seek God's kingdom and we seek God's righteousness at the center of our life. You know, is that the first thing we think about when we get up out of bed in the morning? Seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. Is it the last thing we think about before we go to bed at night? Seeking God's kingdom and seeking his righteousness. Is the fulfillment of the holy days our dream? I hope it is. The dream that we primarily should be thinking about is the coming kingdom of God. All of our personal dreams, and we need to have personal dreams, hopes, ambitions, and goals, but they need to lead to this ultimate dream of God's kingdom. Turn with me to Luke 12, verse 32. God's kingdom is the ultimate dream. It's the dream that God wants to share with us. Luke 12, verse 32. Verse 32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The Father wants to share his kingdom, his future, our future, his kingdom with us. He wants to share that dream with us. He wants us to be a part of it. You know, God has had this dream from the beginning. It has been his hope and our hope. Last night I was listening to a sermon by Rick Shabby that Mike Bennett sends me sermons, and he says he sends it to everyone, but I'm pretty sure he just does it to me because you need to work on this. So he sends me the sermon. So I'm listening to it last night, and he's talking about that, and it just made it more clear how the holy day plan, you know, God had this before Adam and Eve. He had this plan set up from the very beginning of time, his plan, and us being there and building his family. It's just amazing when when you think about that and you meditate on that. This has been going on for a long time, and God wants to share his joy, his love, eternity, which I believe is a long time, with each one of us. And he has given us these holy days as a reminder of that hope and that dream. Turn with me to Titus 1. Titus 1, verse 1. Timothy, Titus. Titus 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. I find it interesting he writes, for God who cannot lie, which, like, hey, dude, we know that. But he puts it in there. God, who's 100% honest, you know his word is true, has started this from the beginning of time. God promised us his hope, this dream from the beginning. Now, if you go to Titus 3, we'll read verses 4 through 7. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Having been justified by his grace, we are heirs. Heirs of the living God. This is our dream, to be heirs of God, children of God. If you turn back to Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Through Jesus Christ, we have this hope. We have access of faith. Did this go off? Hello? Is it still off? Things off and on, maybe that works. That's good. How you doing? There you go. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to this hope. We have access by faith into this grace. We have access to the plan of God. We're given hope. We're given a future. You know, God has a plan for each one of us sitting here today. Each one of us is in God's plan. Your name's written down somewhere, and God has a plan for each one of us. You know, he shows us his plan. He starts his plan through the holy days. That'll be here in just 4 weeks. God had a plan. He had a dream. You know, we can go all the way back to Genesis 1:26, where he says, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And verse 27, God says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them." He created man in his image, his children, He started his family. He made us a little lower than angels, as it says in Hebrews 2:7. But in 1 Corinthians 6:3, Paul says, "Do you not know that we'll judge angels?" So he made us in his image. He made us these human beings, these physical flesh. And the angels were all around. And Paul says, "Do you not know he made us, he made you greater than the angels?" It's an amazing thing. God's plan is for us to be with him forever. Forever in a brand new world. Living forever with him as his children in his image. That's the part of the dream I want to be a part of. You know, we have our dreams. We have our hopes. We can dream and we should dream. Dreams should be focused on God and God's will. And if you have a dream and it's a good dream, pursue it. Do it. But make sure it's aligned with God's will. Ask God to guide you. Make sure any dream that we have aligns with God's ultimate dream for us. Make sure our lives align with that dream. We've been blessed. Blessed to be a part of a much bigger dream. If you turn with me to Isaiah 65, verse 17, I know these are Feast of Tabernacle scriptures. Isaiah 65, Isaiah 65, verse 17. Isaiah 65, verse 17. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice for... But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall not be heard, will no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. And they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord." This paints a wonderful picture of a fantastic new world. And that's a dream world. That's better than what Walt Disney came up with. It is a world of peace, a world of hope for all mankind. Now turn with me to the end of the book, to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, please. Revelation 21, verse 1. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Go over chapter 22, Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure water, a river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there should be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. It's a wonderful dream for all of us. That's the fulfillment of our dream. That is the fulfillment of what God has in store for us. And we start celebrating it in less than 4 weeks with the Passover. You know, I read those scriptures and they're exciting. They're fantastic because I see what's in store for all of us. But then you know what? There's more. Because if you read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, and I'll read it out of the Living Translation. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So when I read Revelation and I read Isaiah, I can imagine those things. They're fantastic. I can imagine that world of no sickness, no pain, no death, no evil. But God says there's more. Because you can't imagine what I have in store for you. And that's fantastic when I think about it. I can't imagine the goodness. I'm sure it's not bad things. He's a father. These are going to be great and awesome things that God has in store for us. You know, God promises us so much. He promises us the best dream. You know, Ronald Reagan wanted a better country. Martin Luther King wanted a better world for his children. Even Walt Disney had a vision of what he wanted to create. And it was limited. Only God the Father and Jesus Christ know the details of our dream, of our future dream. Our hearts can only imagine, or can imagine. You know, I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs. You can only imagine. They're doing a movie. I can only imagine about how he wrote that song. But if you know that song, I wish I could have played it today. But, you know, he's standing before God and he can only imagine how his heart, how he's going to, should I sing? Should I kneel? Should I dance? I look forward to that day. Because I can only imagine, or actually the Bible says I can't imagine. So I don't know what to believe, but it's hard to think about it. Because we can't imagine all that God has in store. We have access to the biggest dream in the world. It's exciting. It's eternal. We're only given a glimpse. We can read Isaiah. We can read Revelation. But we're only given a glimpse of that wonderful future. God's going to blow our minds. It's going to be fantastic. So as you know, we enter these holy days. We have a lot to do. We have a lot to think about. A lot of remembering to do. But we need to think about what's in store. You know, as we begin the holy days, let's remember. Because we do need to remember what's been done for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have to remember that this started before the beginning of time. But we also have to be excited. Because each year God gives us these holy days as a reminder of his great plan for us. You know, 4 weeks we're going to kick off that plan. It's going to be exciting. I love the holiday season so much every year. The spring and then the fall. Let's be focused. Let's be excited about what he has in store for us. He has set before us the ultimate dream that will come true.